Hi, and welcome to the View Church Table View Podcast. We trust that the message today will inspire you to be a changed life, changing lives. You're listening to a message from Andre Greer.
So we are carrying on with our series, Forever Free. It actually started on Easter, where Leanne, on Easter Friday, kicked it off, and Easter Sunday I spoke. Then last week, Donovan Katia spoke. Who enjoyed Donovan? He's for sure one of our favorites. I actually think Donovan just got funnier and funnier throughout the day. So if you were in the second service, it would have been the second funniest service. Then we went to the third funniest. Anyway, I was trying to show you how he climbed up the ladder. But today I'm going to carry on this series and hopefully give you some practical steps on how to live in freedom. For some of you, it's going to be a first step you've ever taken. For others of you, you're going to be in this process and maybe you've actually not fully understood how to take hold of your freedom. I'm going to look at John 8, 31 to 36, and that's the first scripture. You can, if you're taking notes, studies have shown that people who take notes have a way better chance of getting to heaven. I don't know if it's true, but imagine getting to heaven and they say, where are the notes? Before you come in, you don't want to miss out, so take notes. Anyway, so here we go. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Of course, this is our main scripture. Even Donovan used it last week. It goes on to say, they answered. Of course, these were the religious leaders of the day. Jesus told them, you know, the truth will set you free. If you follow my teachings, of course, this is Jesus talking. They're like, Jesus, we don't even believe you're the Son of God. So they already had a problem with Jesus. So they answered, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. Of course, they forgot that Abraham's descendants were slaves in Egypt. And of course, the Roman Empire was ruling over them. So it was a bit of an arrogant statement. They actually had been in slavery before, but they were in a place where they were very religious and they did not want to acknowledge that Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus replied, so of course, we were slaves. We haven't been slaves to anyone. They say, how can you say that we'll be set free? Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Let's pray. God, we just come to you today. And I pray that you would speak to every individual. People would not understand freedom, but they would live in freedom after today. I pray that if they are bound by any spirit, that they'd be loose today in the name of Jesus, in the authority you've given us, they'd be loose. And I pray for an anointing that not only breaks the yoke, that it would destroy the yoke in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, when we go to friends' houses, if you go to someone's house and they're sort of getting you used to their house, they show you where everything is. Who's ever had a sleepover at someone's house? Remember those days when you were young, you had your sleepovers, you go to your friend's house and then you've been friends with that person for years and you get familiar. You can open the fridge, you know where everything's in the cupboard. You can sleep over the house, wake up early, go switch the TV on, have breakfast. Anyone have those kinds of friends? Okay, so but of course what happens is for me, my friends, it's like the son of the house gave me access to the house, okay. For the girls, so the daughter of the house gave you access to the house. What this scripture is saying is the Son of God will give you access to all the Son of God wants to give you. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So of course he says, if you follow my teachings, if you put them into practice, you will then be my disciple and the truth will set you free and whoever the Son sets free is free. Free indeed. Of course, we always encourage people to be a church every week because what happens is you get saved, you're a son and a daughter, not only of God, but you also become a son and daughter of this house. And even as you're a son and daughter of this house, you start to know this house. You know where the fridge is. You know where Growth Track is. You know where the view groups are. You know where Equip is. You know our identity courses. You start to know about the house. You know about Kids Church. You know about how everything runs. And if you are a son of this house, you allow new potential sons and daughters to have access to the house. But when you're not here, then what happens is you've got a whole bunch of strangers in the house, hey? And everyone feels a bit, unaware. They don't know what they can do. So you know, just so you know that that's important. You're a son and daughter of this house, and you actually allow other sons and daughters or new friends to come in and actually have that access they need to know Jesus. But Jesus was saying to them, you know, if you know me, if I give you freedom, you will be free. And these guys were a bit offended. And I think what can happen is a lot of us can actually feel offended if somebody said to us, we're not free. You say, Andre, but I've given my life to Jesus. But we have to admit it, there are areas where we're not truly free. There are areas where we're still bound. It might be in a mindset, it might be in a thought pattern, and it's leading to a practice. But Scripture says, as a man thinketh, so is he. As a woman thinketh, so is she. And as you go down that path, or maybe you haven't changed your mind yet on certain things, you will be bound in those things. I've seen people do some of our equip courses. We've got our identity. We've got empowered by the Holy Spirit. We've got a course called Get to Know the Holy Spirit, empowered. We, of course, are adding to those. We've even got Fresh Start. And if you're a new Christian, I encourage you to Fresh Start. And the reason I think it's such a significant course is because you end up, you also have facilitators, smaller groups of facilitators where you can talk to them and confess things and they can help you on a journey. But I know that people have been set free in our services. They've been saved. And then during equip, they've actually had their mind renewed and they've been freed from bondage. They've had, oh, I've never seen that. Really? Is that what God thinks about that? Is that how I'm supposed to think about myself? Is that how I'm supposed to think about sin? Is that how I'm supposed to think about God? And they've actually changed their direction and they've got out of bondage, but they've been saved, but still not living in the freedom that Jesus wants for them. I've heard testimony after testimony. So that's just a free advert. If you have not done one of our equip courses and you're saved, but you're still living in bondage, go do our Tuesday night equip courses. Sign up. Say, I want to do equip. I want to do fresh start. Or I want to do identity. I reckon identity would be one of the most powerful courses we run. People have got revelation of who God is and who God says they are, and they find freedom. But if we don't live in this place, we can almost be on a merry-go-round as a Christian. In Luke 11:24-26 says, it says it this way, when an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert, searches for rest. But when it finds none, it says, I'll return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds that the former house is well swept and in order. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and live there. So the person is worse off than before. That's quite a crazy scripture. Hey, that's quite a scary scripture. That you can be set free and then you can just sweep up your house and just clean it up. And this house is actually empty but clean. And he goes, well, there's nothing happening in this house. People are, they're supposedly saved, but they're not living in freedom. The house is not being used for freedom. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you might be saved, but you're not living in it. You're not living in the purpose of God. And it says the evil spirit goes, well, they're saved, but they're empty. They're not full of freedom. They're not full of God's purposes. They're not full of vision. They're not full of the purpose of God. And there can be an attack on your life again. Of course, the picture we see is people find freedom, then people experience the prosperity, the blessing, the mercy, the salvation, the fullness of all that God has for you, and then they sort of go back into bondage. One of the places that you see this is in Luke 15, but before I go there, you actually see the picture of the prodigal son where he says, give me my inheritance early. He asks for freedom from his dad's rule, and then he asks for his inheritance, he gets prosperity, and then he gets into bondage. And we see that pattern all the time. And so Scripture encourages us and God encourages us to stay free. And Galatians 5:1 says it like this. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. He didn't save you just to save you, get to heaven. He didn't just save you, I've got a ticket. He actually saved you so that you can live in freedom. He didn't save you so that you can live in bondage or the devil can come in and live in your house. But the devil's actually not got an authority in your life because legally you're a child of God now. You've been adopted by God. So if you're an adopted child, previously the child might have been in someone else's, under somebody else's authority, but because you've signed the papers, that person has lost their authority over that child. The people who have authority now are the people who've signed the adoption papers. It was just a signature, like a step. Jesus has signed off with his blood. If you accept the signature, you are saved. Satan lost his authority. He has no authority over your life, but he tries to move back in. So you're saved, but in bondage. But this scripture says, it's for freedom that Christ set you free. Stand firm then. Do not let yourselves be burdened again. There again. The scripture says, burdened again by the yoke of slavery. That's why some people, we can get into a bit of a lull. We can be saying, I'm saved and I can't go back. Scripture clearly points that you can be burdened again with the yoke of slavery. And I've seen people are saved, they're in the house, but they've burdened. They got mindsets about what God wants for their life and where they're going, and there's a burden on their life. And so what we need to understand is we have a moment of freedom, of salvation. But then there's a process of freedom. And we need to continuously be doing this walk, continuously be in the process of living out the freedom that God's got for us. So I'm going to look at Luke 15 and look at the story of the prodigal son. I've heard Robert Morris teach people on freedom from the scripture. I've seen Chris Hodges also use this, and I was quite inspired. So I'm going to use the scripture and look at it and show you how the prodigal son stepped back into freedom. But I just want to give you an overview before I read that. But this is a story about a young guy who asked for his inheritance. In a way, in those days, it would be saying, like, I wish you were dead to his father. And the father gives his inheritance. He goes off to a foreign land. He squanders it on partying, on prostitutes, and all these things. He ends up having no money. The land he's living in, where he squandered everything, ends up being a land that goes through famine and drought. And he ends up working in a pig pen. He ends up not having food, and he wishes he could eat the food of the pigs. And he ends up coming to his senses and realizing in his father's house, even the slaves and the servants eat better than he's eating. He ends up going back to his father and ends up going back into the house. And then there's a story of the older brother who's very resentful and bitter towards his younger brother. And we learn from this picture. So I'm going to go to Luke 15, 11 to 14. It says, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. That's the important line to remember. So he divided his property between them. It doesn't say so he gave the younger son his inheritance. He said he gave both of them the inheritance early because the one asked for inheritance. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. Luke 15, 15 to 17 says, so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of the country who sent into his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And here's the important line. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. Number one, if you want to live in freedom, you have to admit that you need help. You have to admit that you need help. And this is the key thing that the son did. He came to his senses. He actually came to a place where he could acknowledge that he needed help. He recognized that he needed help. So that's what happens for all of us. How do you get saved? You acknowledge that you're a sinner, that you need a savior. How do you continuously live in freedom? You have to acknowledge the areas where you need to be free. You have to acknowledge where you're bound. You have to acknowledge that I'm going on a merry-go-round. I feel like I'm tired. I've got a yoke around my neck from my past, and I'm walking in circles because the yoke, of course, is connected to another animal. And of course, you might be connected to your past and just feel like you're circling in life around the wrong things. Now, what he did, in a way, was he changed his mind. His mindset was that if I can get my inheritance, I can party and live it up and I can be free. And he had a wrong mindset about what freedom was. So it says he came to his senses. He admitted that this wasn't freedom. Even the servants in my father's house who I think aren't as free as me have got a better life than me. So many people don't realize the blessing that comes when you have God as your Father, our Father in heaven as our leader. And we don't see the freedom, and we think freedom is something else. So he came to a place, what is known as repentance. A lot of people think repentance is just changing direction. I used to live for myself. I used to live in this direction, but I'm going to change direction. And it is. Repentance is changing a direction. I've told you guys a story. I was driving down the M7 years ago on a way to a race, and it was 5 in the morning. The sun wasn't up yet, and we were driving, and there was a person on the other side of the road driving the same direction as us. So we started flashing and hooting, and this person after a while looked at us and saw these people waving and hooting. He must have thought we're nuts. Then he looked back up, and there was a truck that came over the hill at him, and then he realized that the people who are nuts are trying to help me. They're actually trying to help me. They're trying to save my life. A lot of people can feel like when you say repent, it's an ugly thing. No, no, we're telling you, if you carry on the way you're going, you're going to crash. It's going to lead to death. There's a way that seems right to man, but at the end, it leads to death. So people not only repent because they're going to crash, and the young man not only came to his senses and repented, but he had to change his mind. The word repentance comes from the word metanoia, and it means to be transformed, to be changed, to change, and noia means mind. Repentance is actually to change your mind. We actually have to get to a place where you change your mind about who God is, you change your mind about your sin, and you change your mind about your identity. But if you don't change your mind, you can be saved and still live down the same path. If you don't change your mind about who God is he your provider? Is he the all-powerful, all-knowing God? Then you know what? You will carry on living in bondage in the things you don't change your mind about. So people feel like, once I'm saved, I'm free. Yes, whoever the Son says free is free indeed. But your changing process comes in when you change your mind. That's why Romans 12 verse 2 says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and prove what God's will is. When you change your mind, you'll be able to know the will of God. How do you change your mind? You have to read the Bible. That's why it says, those who live by my word, they're my disciples. You have to, the word transforms you. It's a light to your path. It puts a lamp at your feet. The word of God is the word that changes your mind. If you are not reading the word, you won't be able to truly change your mind. And that's why you have a lot of Christians who've got a mindset about things, about God, about themselves, that's not true. And the only reason it's not true is because they don't understand what the word says about who God is, about them, about sin. And so repentance is actually an ongoing thing. People say, Andre, hold up, where are you going with this? Well, God said to the five churches in Revelation, the five churches of Asia Minor, the churches, he said to them, repent. Some of us have to change our mindset about certain things 20 years into our Christianity. And you know how you do it? A lot of us will change our mindsets even as we have quiet times. God will say something. You'll go, I've never seen that. I've always had a mindset that this was the path. You end up saying, I actually repent. I'm going to change my mind about that. And as a man, think it's so easy. That's why some people will be living in sexual sin and they have a mindset that says it's fine. Because you understand that it's just because they haven't changed their mind on it. So they're still living in bondage, but they're asking God to forgive them. But you have to change your, see, that's where it's different. People say, I've confessed it. Yeah, but repentance is not only confession, it's also changing your mind about it. That's why it's a danger. People can feel free. I can confess it, then I'm fine. No, you need to confess and repent to stay free. So here's the next thing. Point number two, humbly repent before God and others. Luke 15 verse 18, I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I sinned against heaven and against you. In our repentance, to truly be free, there's a place where we have to confess, not only to God, we have to repent and confess to others. Some of us have to confess to family members. Some of us have to confess to friends. But a lot of us just need to find those view groups and groups of friends where we can be open and we can confess to one another. We can tell each other our struggles and bring it into the light. Satan operates in darkness. So you can repent, change your mind, but he still has power. You know what? Because it hasn't been brought into the light. So how do you break the power of the enemy? You bring it into the light. Because if you keep it in darkness, he still has control. You might have changed your mindset about it, but he will still say, I've got a hold on you. Why? Because it's in darkness still. And whatever's in darkness, I still have authority over. So how do you break his power? You bring it into the light. You tell someone. You share it with somebody. So we see the biblical pattern, Matthew 5, 23, 24. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and that you remember your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and reconcile with them. James 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. As people confess, there's healing. Yeah, you need to choose people who you can trust. That's why view groups is a place where you build trust, where you build friendship, and you can actually talk to people. Yeah, but so many people only want to confess to people who know nothing about them. And so you need to be wise, choose people, but choose people who can keep you accountable. Choose people who can know you. But what I'm trying to teach you is freedom. Because some people can give their lives to Jesus, but they're not free. Satan's kept them in darkness and he's kept them bound. But we want you to be free, because whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. So we follow his pattern. The next thing is daily choose to reject Satan's lies. You have to reject them. You have to renounce the lies of Satan. Here's the thing. How does Satan keep you in bondage? Now, you've been saved. You've repented. You've come to God and said, my mindset has been this, but I repent. I'm a sinner and you're a savior. You're the king. You forgive all sins. I'm changing my direction. I've been living for myself. I'm living for you. And then there's some areas I need to confess so that it's not in darkness, so Satan doesn't have a hold on me. Now, you've done that. But Satan will still come and lie to you every day. You must understand, Satan, he's the liar and he's the accuser of the brethren. There's the only two ways he'll speak to you. He'll accuse you of stuff and he'll lie to you. It's all he can do. He has no ability to tell the truth. So when the enemy speaks to you, it's either an accusation or a lie. You and I, what we do to ourselves is we ourselves. We remind ourselves. We like remind ourselves of what you suck. You're terrible. Your grandfather did it. Your father did it. You'll always do this. You will never be free. That's what we say to ourselves. But Jesus, all he does is he forgives and the Holy Spirit convicts. So Jesus says, I'll forgive you, and the Holy Spirit convicts you. Conviction says you don't have to live like that anymore. I'm going to empower you, break out of this. I'm going to set you free. I'm going to help you live in obedience. So you got these five voices in your world. Accusations, lies, condemnation, forgiveness, conviction. You have to live in the forgiveness and the conviction and the leading of the Holy Spirit. But you have to bring down the lies, you have to bring down the accusations, and you have to remind yourself that you're free now, that you're a new creation, and you stop condemning yourself. You are not your past. You are not your body. You are not what your grandfather did. You know what your father did, your mother did, your grand. You are not defined by that. You're not, oh, in my family, oh, well, I'm just human. No, you cannot approach your freedom from that point of view. Because you haven't changed your mind about yourself then. And how do you live in freedom? You have to change your mind. That's why identity is such an important cause. So we tell people, you can't, you're trying to get freedom, but you haven't changed your mindset yet about who you are, about who God is, and about what sin is, and what freedom is. So you have to daily renounce it. So here's the thing. The older brother lived in a lie. Luke 15, 29, 31 said, but he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Jeez, that must have been the ultimate child. Who of you has a child who's never disobeyed your orders? This dude is lying. See, but here's the thing. He's in bondage because of lie. He actually believes that. That's why some people leave the church. You know, this church, I have never hurt this church. I have always given my best for this church. Can you believe it? It's a lie. That's why Satan gets you. He just wants you to believe yourself a bit too much. And then people cause division. They leave churches. They get unplanted. This, I have never. And this person, I have always been a good friend to them. Really? Did you not skin about them once? Yeah, oh, but there wasn't a bad skinner. It was to help them. I've always been a good friend. Do you get what I'm trying to teach you now? You have to bring down. You have to confess and say, no, I'm actually, that was wrong. I need to stop that. You have to bring down the lies. So the brother was living lies. Then he goes on to say, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate my friends. Hold on. In the beginning of the scripture, the younger brother asked for inheritance. And it says the father gave them both. It says he gave it to them. This guy had just inherited 2/3 of his dad's property. Because the older brother gets 2/3. The younger brother gets 1/3 in those days. So he's like, what do you mean I didn't give you a goat? I've just given you the whole farm. I've given you the business. I've given you everything. You own everything I have. Your brother sold it all. He spent it all. Everything we're standing on is yours. Lying again. You know what's crazy is the prodigal son and the older brother were in the same amount of bondage. But at this point, the older brother was still bound. And the younger brother was free. Because the younger brother had come to his senses. He changed his mindset. And he confessed his sin. The older brother believed the lie. So much so that he made absolute statements. You never did this, and I've never done this, and I will always do this, and you will... Have you ever done that? Mom and dad, you always give so-and-so this, and you never take care of me, and you've always done this for my brother and sister, and I've always... Bondage. You have to actually confess, I'm a bit selfish, or I'm blinded. I think only about myself. I need to stop this. I'm living in bondage. I make these absolutes about my family, about my children, about the business, about the government. This government always does this to us. And it's never rained in Cape Town. You know what I mean? We need to pray for rain. It's bondage. The enemy wants to keep you bound. That's why we're baptizing people next week. Baptism is so important. Come to the worship team up. But we're going to baptize people. They're going to be buried in water. And they're going to come out. And they're confessing that inside, internally, they've given their life to Jesus. And the old is gone. The new has come. I tell some people to put their baptisms next to their bed. Frame it. And look, wake up every morning and go, the old is gone and the new has come. Satan says, but this, those people have never. No. The old is gone, the new has come. I'm a new creation in Christ. I was baptized with Christ. And that's why it's so important to acknowledge your freedom publicly. It's so important to acknowledge your internal, your spiritual freedom in a physical act. If you're not getting baptized, you can baptize in any one of our services. Put your name in the card. Bring your family. Acknowledge it. Live in it. Bring down the lies of the enemy. And then lastly, choose to receive God's truth. Choose to live in what he's given you. Daily choose to receive God's truth. Luke 15, 22, 24. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. So we see the first thing is he brought a robe. And then he says, put a ring on his finger and then sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Robe of righteousness, he brought a robe. What does it represent? Isaiah 61, verse 10. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. I'm right with God. I'm right in right standing because of what Jesus did for me. When I ask Jesus to be my Savior, when I repent, when I change direction, when I confess, he puts on this robe. When God looks at me, he doesn't see my sin. He sees Jesus covering. He sees me as he sees Jesus. I'm white as snow. Not because of anything I've done, because of everything he's done. How do I get this? Well, I can't earn it, but I can say that I need it. I can come to my senses and declare I need the robe of righteousness. I'm full of sin, but he can wash me white as snow, and he gives it to you. Here's the thing. You know that father stood every day waiting for the prodigal son. Which day is the best day to come back to God? Any day, because he's waiting every day. He's looking out for you. He's looking out with a robe. I'll bring a robe. I'll forgive your sins. I'll wash you white as snow. Any day. Then he gives him a ring of authority. Of course, Pharaoh gave Joseph a ring when he put him in charge. And he said, no one can go anywhere or do anything without your authority. You're second in charge of the nation. You have an authority. That's why when we're going to pray now, I'm going to pray that things are broken, that things are out of your life. I'm not going to pray. It's not going to be based on my voice, but it's going to be based in the name of Jesus, the authority that you and I have as sons and daughters. It's an authority he gives us, and we live in it. Luke 10, verse 19. I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. The next thing, shoes of peace. Gave him sandals. Can represent shoes of power. The shoes of the gospel. He gives you peace. He gives you power. But here's the thing. It's not shoes. He gives you someone. It's not the thing he gives you. It's the person he gives you. Acts 1 verse 8. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Represents the power. God wants to give you righteousness. He wants to give you authority and he wants to give you power. That's why when you wake up in the morning, you tear down the lies of the enemy. You say, no. Satan says, can I borrow your hands, your feet? Can I borrow your mouth? Can I borrow your mind today? He says, no. Give your body as a living sacrifice to God. He has no ownership over it, but he'll still ask for it every day. He will ask every day, can I use your hands? Can I use your eyes? Can I use your mind? Can I use your feet? He'll ask for parts of your body. Then Scripture says, no, give your body as a living sacrifice to God. You have an authority and an opportunity every day, and you have to wake up every day and and say, I'm going to offer this to you. The enemy will ask for it, but he has no right to it. I can give it to him, but I choose to give it to you, God. Because I'm your child, and I'm free, and I have an authority to do it. What I want to do is, do you want to stand up quickly? Hopefully, listen to me. You'll understand what I'm saying. But all of us are ungodly. And yes, this is what I mean by it. Who of you are just like God? Okay, so we're all ungodly then. Okay. Because we're unlike God. You get what I'm saying? We are made in His image. We want to go from glory to glory, be more like Jesus. But we are not truly, because I'm sinful. The thoughts I think, and the unforgiveness I can hold, and the jealousy, and the bitterness, and the anger. And I wake up every day and I say, these are lies. I'm trying to make absolute statements out of these things that I'm going to pull it down. So we are unlike God. We are ungodly. So we need to continuously acknowledge that we are a child of God, and that our freedom is a process. And that we need to continually bring thoughts down and bring things captive to live in our freedom. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray a prayer, and you're going to repeat after me, and then I'm going to pray for you. So if you want to pray for yourself this morning, just repeat after me. I take authority over every spirit of bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, hate, malice, envy, and jealousy. I command it to go in Jesus' name. I rebuke every spirit of insecurity, inferiority, self-hate, self-destruction, in Jesus' name. Father, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to release me from every bondage in the name of Jesus. I'm just going to pray for you all. I take authority over every demonic spirit that has held every person in this place in bondage in the name of Jesus. I command you to go in Jesus' name. It's not the authority of my voice. It's the authority of the Lord Jesus. Everyone here overcomes with the blood of the Lamb by the word of their testimony. They have been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed. So I take authority over every spirit right now in Jesus' name. A spirit of suicide, I command it to go in Jesus' name. A spirit of anger, of rage, of murder, of violence, I command it to go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of sexual immorality, of adultery, sexual impurity, fornication, lust, pornography, all forms of sexual impurity, I command you right now in Jesus' name to go. The spirit of pride, a lying, of the Jezebel spirit, rebellion, deception, manipulation, control, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of pride, judgment, arrogance, racism, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of greed, covetousness, selfishness, selfish ambition, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of anxiety, worry, suicide, addiction, alcoholism, drunkenness, and drugs, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of legalism, false doctrine, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of stealing, laziness, rebellion to authority, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of guilt, shame, embarrassment, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of witchcraft, I command you to go in Jesus' name. I break every word, curse, and spell spoken over everyone in this building, and every demonic spirit that has held other people, one of our people, and I tell you to go right now in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for today's View Church podcast. If you would like to invest in our ministry, find our giving options online at viewchurch.co.za/giving.